Good morning.
Good morning.
We are continuing this week with our review of the Ligonier State of Theology Survey. Question 12 asks, quote, true or false? Even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. 68% of all respondents and 54% of evangelicals say that this is false. And 68% of respondents and 54% of evangelicals are wrong, according to the scriptures. Romans 6:23 says, quote, for the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:20 says, quote, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Notice that these verses do not say, if we just sin a little, we will avoid eternal death. But if we sin a whole lot, we will be condemned to eternal punishment. A single sin earns a person eternal damnation. James 2:10 says, quote, for whoever keeps the entire law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking it all. Many theologians have argued that punishing a sinner with an evil nature, which all men are born with, is unfair for God to do. Two notable people who have argued that eternal punishment for sin is unfair are revivalist Charles Finney and the Scottish minister George MacDonald, who C.S. Lewis cites as his favorite theologian. Finney and MacDonald, and many like them, reason that it would be unfair to subject the entire human race to the effects of the fall, namely death, destruction, and damnation, for the sin of Adam. This, of course, assumes that some members of the human race would have chosen not to sin, as Adam did, an assumption that the scriptures deny. Adam, as our federal head, was a perfect representative of all men. Now, we have some federal senators and congressmen representing us from the state of Ohio, and they do not perfectly represent us, I could say. But not so with Adam. If any of us had been tempted by Satan with the fruit of the tree of knowledge, we would have done exactly the same thing. Therefore, Adam's sin is justly imputed to each member of the human race. This doctrine is called federal imputation. In a similar way, God imputes the sins of Christians to Christ and imputes to the Christians the righteousness of Christ. These imputations are not based on justice, though, but they are based on grace alone. In 1734, at the peak of the Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon that was on the exact topic of today's question. The sermon is not as famous as Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, or Mark's favorite sermon, Edwards' sermon, God Glorified in Man's Dependence. We often hear about good sermons by such ministers as Charles Spurgeon or Martin Lloyd-Jones. But if you want to read sermons that can be called comprehensive and great, read Jonathan Edwards. I will conclude with an excerpt from Edwards's The Justice of God in the Damnation of Sinners. Notice how Edwards starts out this section in a very logical and theological manner, and then becomes poetic and joyful. This excerpt is very typical of an Edwards sermon. Quote, it is just with God to eternally cast off and destroy sinners, for this is the punishment which the law condemns. The truth of this doctrine may appear by the joint consideration of two things, man's sinfulness and God's sovereignty. If we consider the infinite evil and heinousness of sin in general, it is not unjust in God to inflict what punishment is deserved, because the very notion of deserving any punishment is that it may be justly inflicted. A deserved punishment and a just punishment are the same thing. To say one deserves such a punishment and yet to say he does not justly deserve it is a contradiction. And if he justly deserves it, then he may be justly inflicted. Now here's where Edwards starts to get poetic. Quote, an obligation to love, honor, and obey any being is in proportion to his loveliness, honorableness, and authority. For that is the very meaning of these words. When we say one is very lovely, it is the same as to say that he is very much to be loved. Or if we say such a one is more honorable than another, the meaning of the words is that he is the one we are more obliged to honor. If we say anyone has great authority over us, it is the same as to say that he has a great right to our subjection and obedience. But God is a being infinitely lovely, because he hath infinite excellency and beauty. To have infinite excellency and beauty is the same as to say infinite loveliness. He is a being of infinite greatness, majesty, glory, and therefore he is infinitely honorable. He is infinitely exalted above the greatest potentates of earth and highest angels in heaven, and therefore he is infinitely and more honorable than they. His authority over us is infinite, and the ground of his right of our obedience is infinitely strong, for he is infinitely worthy to be obeyed himself. And we have an absolute, universal, and infinite dependence upon him. So that sin against God, being a violation of infinite obligations, must be a crime infinitely heinous, and so deserving of infinite punishment. Nothing is more agreeable to the common sense of mankind than that sins committed against anyone must be proportionally heinous to the dignity of the being offended and abused, as it is agreeable to the word of God, 1 Samuel 2:25. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat him?